Welcome to the Trusting Higher Power OA Marathon meeting. My name is Hank, and I am an abstaining compulsive overeater and your speaker this evening. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, that might be done. Before we get started, A, we ask that all cell phones or other electronics be turned off. And it says to pause while everybody checks. So I'm pausing. B, I like to do ABCs. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting. Then I'll have that. C, if you don't want to identify yourself, then you don't have to sign the release. C, the opinions expressed here this evening are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone like to come up and please read the 12 steps? Welcome.
I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive eater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Okay, the format for this 55-minute session is as follows. A short reading, then I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is Trusting Higher Power. The following is a reading from Voices of Recovery, coincidentally, January 17th. And I read that this morning. Do you think I remember what I read? That's why I have to keep doing this. Perseverance brings us the reward of continuing permanent recovery, from the OA 12 and 12, page 105. Before I entered recovery, perseverance meant struggle through your problems and wind up eating anyway because an answer didn't come that very instant. Today, perseverance has a different meaning. Through working the 12 steps and relying on my higher power, perseverance now means working through the daily struggles with the hope of resolution and a brighter tomorrow, trusting my higher power to remove my impatience and replace it with the willingness I need to see that working through the struggles is a part of recovery, and in His time the answers will come. Giving into daily struggle means I could miss my miracle that could be just 5 minutes away. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. Well, my name is Hank, and I'm an abstaining compulsive overeater. I've been doing this imperfectly, and I loved the share that the keynote speaker had about just keep on, keep on, keep on. And it's really been imperfect, but I came in a little over 25 years ago, and I like to say I was struck abstinent because I had hope. And it hasn't been perfect, but I came in, and if I look at me, I weighed over 400 pounds when I got here. I'm keeping about 150 pounds off. And one time it was more, and little by little, and I beat myself up, and I talked to my sponsor, and sometimes I just had to recommit and say, you know, I have to commit when I go into a supermarket, not when I'm going to buy. I have to commit to what I'm not going to buy. You know, I'll tell you what I'm going to buy. It's the things that I don't tell you about that throws me up, that throws me for a loop. Oh, could somebody time? Well, I'll try to do it. I'll be okay. Oh, how about give me 12 minutes? Give me 10 minutes, and then I'll do another three because I've probably been speaking for two. So it's 10. Okay, great. Thank you. So I came in, and the truth be told, I went to my first two Overeaters Anonymous meetings in Queens, New York in 1972. And I had been, quote, a successful Weight Watcher to the point that I was a paid lecturer. And I lost almost 100 pounds with them. And things happened, and the weight started coming back on. And this was in Connecticut and Ohio. And that's where I was a lecturer in Ohio. And then I got a dream job as a radio reporter for a radio station in New York City. So we were going. I was married. I had two kids. Going back home where our family was, because we always lived away. And there were, in New York City, there was all my binge foods on every corner. You know, all the different ones. You could get everything in New York 24 hours a day. Not like in other places where they roll up the sidewalks. And the weight started to come on. And so I heard about OA. Actually, a friend had told me about it. Probably in the late 60s. But I was doing this Weight Watcher thing, and I was okay. So I checked it out. I'll never forget the meeting. It was a church basement in Queens. It was in probably October or November of 1972, and it was rainy, and there were four women there, no scale, talk of God, and the gray sheet. At the time, I didn't know how angry I was at God, because I hadn't done any of the work to get to uncover all the things. And I went and I went back the next week, and I said it was too restrictive because on Weight Watchers I could eat all this food. It was like free food. And I said, and I lost 100 pounds, almost 100 pounds. And actually that was before they had maintenance, so I went 12 pounds below my goal weight because I was afraid to eat. I didn't know what to do. So anyway, fast forward. That was 1972. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1988, 16 years, another move. And a friend of mine said, real compulsive overeaters in their 20s, they're in their 200s. In their 30s, they're in their 300s. In their 40s, they're in their 400s. And if I hadn't come to Overeaters Anonymous, I'd be dead or I'd be, you know, confined to a bed someplace. So I came in, and my bottom was my daughter's wedding. Because they had to send out of town to get a tuxedo to fit me. And I thought that it wouldn't come. And my plan was, this was what we call pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization, was I was going to tell the guy, and I lied to him. He asked me how much I weighed. And I made up a number that sounded plausible to me. And as I'm saying it, I said, if he knows what he's doing, he'll realize I'm lying because I can't weigh what I said I weighed and measure what I'm measuring. Because I'm not stupid. I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid. And then if it didn't fit, it would be his fault. And the wedding was right after weekend of Thanksgiving in 1988. And I was sure that he wasn't going to be. He had a call out of town. He got to someplace in Tennessee. I was there the week before. And if he had holiday weekend, no mail, bad weather, it'll never get here in time. And what I plotted to do was thank him very much, say, could I please have a hanger with your tuxedo store name on it, and I was going to hang an empty hanger in my closet and wake up the next day sick and not go to my daughter's wedding. I came into Overeaters. I was in therapy. I came into OA the wedding was on a Saturday night. Saw my therapist on Tuesday. She said, get your ass to Overeaters Anonymous, because I'd heard about it. We talked about it. And she gave me the meeting directory, and I went home with it. And people have shared that when they dialed the number and if a person picked up, they hung up. They wanted to hear an answer machine. I was the exact opposite. If an answer machine picked up, I hung up. I wanted to speak to a real person. And it took about 12 phone calls. I don't remember a name. Don't know if I ever met her. But she said, could you hold out? There's a 100-pounders meeting. She got out of me that I needed to lose 100 pounds. And I went to that meeting. It's at the Darby office. It was the 100. It used to be crowded. If you didn't get there 20 minutes before, you could hardly fit in the room. Not like that today. Several empty seats in that room. I was there this Wednesday night. I'm now the treasurer of that meeting. So anyway, I went to the meeting, and I had hope. And the reason I had hope, and I didn't realize that I weighed over 400 pounds at the time, was who wanted to get on a scale. But I wasn't the biggest person in the room. There was a guy there who weighed 600 pounds, but he had lost 200 pounds. One of the gentlemen who was involved in the production of the play this evening was at the meeting. He said, would you like to be, do you need a sponsor? I said, no, I'm okay. I didn't know what he was talking about. And he scared me. And he recently celebrated, he's got almost 31 and a half years. So, and I didn't know it, but I came in on his natal birthday. I found out later that the day I came in there. So I got hope. And I just went going. And at first I thought I was only allowed to go to the 100-pounders meeting. And the only weight, so I went every Wednesday. I didn't know I could go to any other meeting. And what I did was I went back to Weight Watchers. So in the beginning, I went to Overeaters Anonymous on Wednesday and Weight Watchers on Saturday. And then Weight Watchers had Overeaters Anonymous had a men's stag meeting on Saturdays. They've restarted that again. So I started going to that meeting. They kept hot. Because guys at the Wednesday night were yelling, telling me to come to the Saturday meeting. And I said, I can't. I don't, you know, I didn't want to go. I thought one meeting a week was enough. And then I started going. And then I started going. More meetings. And the weight fell off dramatically because I put it on quickly and I take it off quickly. I'll give you the numbers that I remember. 15 pounds the first week, 30 pounds in a month, 50 pounds in 2 months, 100 pounds in 6 months, and about 160 pounds after a year when I took my first candle. And I want to talk a little about higher power. So I said, oh, when you find a sponsor. I love people saying, do you need a sponsor? I'll sponsor you. It's a program of attraction. You have to ask me. I'm not going to volunteer, although I've mellowed a little bit. So I got all I wanted. Find somebody who has what you want. All I wanted was somebody who was heavy and wasn't heavy anymore. I didn't know anything about anything else. So I asked this guy to be my sponsor. I did not know at the time that I was his first sponsee. And he used to tell the story that he made all his mistakes in sponsoring on me. And he said, call me tomorrow morning at 10 to 7. And I met him on a Saturday, so I got to get up Sunday. This was before cell phones, computers. We had to write everything down. And do this. So I started calling him. I write a food history. I did that. And I called him with my food every day. And I remember once I told him I was going to have, I think I said I was going to have chicken. And I went to a restaurant. I decided to have steak. And I had to find a payphone to call him. He said, just tell me you're having protein. I don't care what it is. And so I started doing that. And we worked through the steps. We worked through the steps together. And this was before OA literature. And then I had to fly, and I flew before OA. I was too big. The seatbelt didn't go around me on an airplane, and I flew in terror. And I didn't know they had extender belts. Whether I would have asked for one or not, who knows. But when I flew, I always had a jacket and put it over my lap so the stewardess, flight attendant nowadays, couldn't see that I wasn't buckled in. And my fear was that there'd be turbulence, and I'd be thrown out of the seat, and in those days, the airlines fed you. And I'd knock over somebody's tray, and I'd have to face responsibility for my actions. My whole life was bent on avoiding responsibility. And so I had to go. I was in the program about 6 months, 7 months, and I had to fly from here to San Jose on business, and the seatbelt went around me, and I called my sponsor. And he said, maybe it's a good time to get down on your knees and thank your higher power. So I did. And then I started getting on my knees. I still do. I stop for a while, and I'm back on every day. I have a prayer pillow that somebody gave me, and I get on that every morning and say the first three steps or some form thereof, and you know, end it with, just please help me today. Let me be the best person I can be. Let me be absent today. Let, you know, your will, not mine, be done. And so I've been doing this imperfectly. I've moved around in recovery. I've lived in how many regions? This is region 2. I've lived in region 7, and I've lived in region 3. So I've lived in 3 regions. Done service at all levels. I've been privileged to be a member of World Service Business Conference delegate, and I was an intergroup chair in Virginia, and I was a region 7 representative. And now I'm doing recovery at the meeting level. It took me a long time to become what I call a schlepper. I was too smart to carry the books. You know, give me something to do. And I served on a committee, at World Service that ended up drafting some changes to that. I'm articulate and I'm intelligent, and I was asked to serve on that committee because of my ability to persuade people to do things, I guess. Now I try not to persuade, I just share. You know, if you want what I have, do what I do. You know, so what I do, I do the three, say the three steps, some form thereof. I read three books a day. One is not program approved, but I have codependency issues, so I read about that. An OA friend gave it to me 22 years ago, and I've been reading it practically every morning for 22 years. I have the people I sponsor read it too, because I don't know. I've never met a compulsive overeater or any addict in any addiction who wasn't codependent. So it's all tied in. It's that pleasing somebody else when it doesn't work that I get into the food. And I have four appetizers. If I get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired, it takes me to the food. So that's halt. I don't do that. I'm going to conclude with a story about a higher power. I was in the program a year, and well, my sponsor and I agreed that I could eat whatever Weight Watchers said I could eat. So it's my first abstinence Thanksgiving. I'm down 10 minutes, so I have a couple of minutes more to go.
3 minutes?
Yeah. I told him I was going to have a piece of pumpkin pie. And he said, you can't have it. And I said, yes, I can, because we agreed I could have whatever Weight Watchers said I could have, and it's an exchange, and I can have it, blah, 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 blah. And we argued vehemently for about 10 minutes, as I recall. And finally, he relented. And he said, okay, Hank, you can have it, under one condition. Before you eat it, you have to get down on your knees in front of it and pray to it, because your pumpkin pie is your higher power. I didn't have it. I had something else. So whenever anybody tells me that they have trouble with a higher power, we already believe in a higher power. In that play that we saw tonight, it was the food, it was the bread, it was whatever I want. I'm the kind of guy that if I was wealthy enough to have a Bentley, I know I would want a Porsche for the weekends. You know, I'm an addict through and through. So I come in here to be with other addicts and do the deal to the best of my ability. I just do the deal one day at a time. It's imperfect. I try to exercise on a regular basis. And I guess I'm proud of it because I don't look my age. I'm 72 years old, you know. And when I was 40 years old, a doctor wrote morbid obesity on the chart, and he said, if you don't do something about your weight, you're not going to live to be 50. So I came in 7 years later, and I used to say any sane person wouldn't have waited 7 years. And then I realized any sane person would never have been told that in the first place. You know, it's the insanity. It's the insanity. So I'm grateful for this. I've gone to several OA birthday parties. And the first time I came, I was too new in 1989. I was only in the program a month. And there were a couple of people here who have been very recently. But I had a friend who was in the play the following year. So I came to be supportive of her. And that's when I started coming to the plays. And then I thought, oh, she could do it. I could do it. So the next year I was in a play. And then I've been in a couple of plays. And I do service. I go to conventions and things like that. What Overeaters Anonymous has cost me, my working of the program, and it's cost me my family, because they didn't like it. My wife didn't like it. She thought I was with whatever, and we got divorced because of my recovery. She liked the new body, but she didn't like the new mind and the new spirit, and so that's there. And my kids, I hardly see them or have any interaction with them, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm not okay with that, but I accept it. You know, it's accepted. I'm powerless over their reaction to me and what I do. So I love them, I bless them, and I release them to their own indwelling higher presence. That's on page December 28th in the OA book for today. Somebody told me that there's a prayer for people that we have to let go of. I love you, I bless you, I release you to your own. That's how I conclude my morning prayers. Please take care of my children and grandchildren. I love them, I bless them, I release them to whatever they have to do. So that's it for me. And the meeting is now... Oh, I appreciate that. The meeting is now open for three-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. The session will end at 10:55. So we have 35 minutes, and everybody can share. Please come up and use the microphone. If you give your name, remember you have to sign this. You can line up after the back. Bob, you'll have to come back and do that. And Everybody else, if you don't use your name, you don't have to sign it. So I'm going to sit down and enjoy the meeting myself.
My buzzer's not working, but I'll put up two things.
Sure, that'll work. Okay. And what I usually call people when I get somebody, who is hoping they could sit here quietly and not say anything? You go.
I know.
You really wanted to share. Come on up, Rob. Come on. I almost said your name. And you would have had to sign.
Thank you for your share. So I'm pretty new to the program, and let's see, I've been showing up at meetings for a few months now, testing out the water, seeing what I think about this, and one of my very first meetings I went to, somebody said, I said, oh, I got to figure this all out. Okay, 12 steps, I'll have that done by the end of the week. I'll have everything figured out. I'll get a sponsor. I'll do all this. And they said, just be here right now. Just be here. And just show up. That's all you have to do. So that's kind of what I've been doing, which is the complete opposite of what I thought I would be doing in this program. So where I'm at right now is I haven't gotten a sponsor yet, but I've committed to people that are close to me in the program that I will get a sponsor by the end of this weekend. It's one of the reasons I showed up here, too. And that's going to be scary because of, thank you. Because I'm going to have to step outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to have to let somebody into my little world on a daily basis. And that's a little scary, but I think there's also going to be a lot of freedom that comes with that. So, gosh, now I put it on record. Now I have to find a sponsor this weekend. So I am, I'm really grateful for the people that I've met in the program. We were just talking about it tonight, and a friend of mine, and we were saying that there's such a kinship that happens, that people understand you at such a deep level with not having really ever met you or spoken to you before. So I do feel my heart is at home in this program, and I'm excited to see where it's going to take me. But I'm just going to try and stay in the now and try and get a sponsor this week, or will get a sponsor this weekend, and what it's ever going to happen after that is going to happen. I'm not going to have it all figured out. That's what got me in trouble before. So I'm going to take the opposite approach and just be led. So thank you for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Alex. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I was planning on sitting quietly and not saying anything, so I guess it's for the best that I come up and share. Thank you for your share. Wow, I really liked the show tonight. It was interesting being on the other side of the auditorium as an audience member because I've been in a few shows a while back, and it was a different experience. I really liked the show tonight, and it was really fun. I've been living, actually, believe it or not, in South Pasadena for the past 3 years for work, and it came to the point that I'm originally from West LA, and my support network is mostly on the west side still. And my brother is on the west side, who's like my family, and my friends are on the west side. And I was getting to the point where I couldn't take living that far east anymore, but I didn't think I'd ever find work out here. And I'd been going to interviews, and I was on the phone with my mom griping about how the last interviewer was giving me a hard time and she probably didn't like me. And then on the way here, I got a call from that interviewer saying, you got the job. So it looks like I'm moving. Thank you. I guess I am moving back to the west side. So this is, I'm really excited about that. And it'll be good to start rebuilding or extending my support network by getting more involved with OA on this side, more on this side of town. I was also thinking earlier today, my grandfather used to have this saying that I used to, if I remember it right, I used to pity myself for having corns on my feet until I met a man who didn't have any feet. And that's come to my mind a little bit lately because the other day, before I found out I got the job offer, I was really feeling deep in self-pity, and I was thinking, like, maybe the people at the interviews I went to didn't like me, and maybe they didn't want a guy with a disability working for them or something. And then I got on the train heading back to the east side, and I saw a guy pull up in his wheelchair, and I thought, Not that people should pity him, but I thought, like, what am I thinking? I walk, I see, I hear, I just have a physical condition that affects one hand, and here's a guy who's in a wheelchair and he doesn't look like he's sad about anything. And then I also remember I met this guy who went to my high school who was in an accident when he was young, and he actually doesn't have arms. And he was telling me, like, you've got that he doesn't even accept a disability pass on the bus because he doesn't want to think of himself that way. He just thinks of himself as a regular person, and you've got to be strong and from within. And here's a guy, and he's telling me that, and he was kind of saying, what are you complaining about? You know? So I try to keep that in mind and keep perspective when I get into that state and not go to the food and remember there's, it could be worse, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Anybody in the back row want to share?
Come on.
You agree, it's right there what we read about perseverance.
Coming here from San Diego, and I guess perseverance, that's a good one. I've been in program, by the way. I came in probably about the time you did, and I stuck around the rooms, and I was, you know, hips looking cool for about 10 years, and then I decided y'all were pissing me off. You talked, it was, felt like I was in a therapy session and I wasn't hearing any recovery, and bitched and moaned my way out of these rooms to the tune of about 85 pounds for 8 years. 10 pounds a year, not bad, huh? So I came back here demoralized, incomprehensible demoralization, like it says in the big book, you know. And unlike the first time, I walked in the rooms and I was able to get abstinent right away the very first day, and I stayed abstinent for 10 years. But this time after the relapse, the first, I've only had one relapse so far, and it was almost 2 years before I could get my abstinence back. So all I can say on perseverance is, you know, stick it out. I wished I would have never left the rooms. You know, no regrets, but I mean, you know, because life is exactly how it's supposed to be. But if you're even thinking about it, you know, stay and stay and stay. You know, because I think I don't know that I would have ate myself up to 85 pounds and surpassed the highest weight I'd ever, you know, clocked in at before had I not left the rooms, I guess. And, you know, I guess I needed to prove to myself one more time that I am a compulsive overeater. And trust me, during that time, I tried a few more diets that had come out on the market, and a few more exercise plans, marathon running, you know, things like that, you know. And, you know, it just didn't work. And so when I finally, after coming back this last time, and I persevered, I guess you'd say, and I stuck around even though I didn't get it, I was so surprised. I thought, oh, I'm going to walk back in the room and I'll get abstinent again. And much to my chagrin, I was horrified at the fact that I was in the room for a year and a half and I couldn't get more than maybe like a month. I'd get 30 days and I'd relapse and I'd get back in the food. And I was like, oh, my God, this is what the, you know. I think, you know, if I had any doubts of step one, you know, I really got it. So I have lost about 58 pounds so far, and I have been abstinent now for, thank you. I mean, because it is all about the weight, isn't it? No, just kidding. So, you know, but I have another 50 to go, and I have been kind of resting on my laurels this last time, this last while, and I don't know what that's about. I'm maintaining, but I'm not losing. So, you know, I'm just going to persevere, though. You know, I'm not going to leave the rooms until the miracle happens, you know. So I guess that's what I have to say about that topic, and I'm really glad you guys are here. We just pulled in from San Diego. My friend had to work a little late tonight, and so we drove up here and wanted to miss the rush hour traffic. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to a great weekend up here, and hello to all you L.A. people.
Hi. Compulsive overeater. I don't feel like signing anything. My phone might die, but I won't talk too long. So, perseverance, that's kind of what got me, because I had the reservations to come here for like 3 months, and I was sick last week, and I missed my trip to Vegas with my little nephew for the Consumer Electronics Show, and then I got better, and I thought, oh, I can't wait to go, and then I just didn't want to go. I just didn't want to come, and I had until 6 o'clock tonight to cancel, and I called a friend of mine who I thought would clearly agree with me that I really needed some alone time. You know, not six days in bed wasn't enough. So she goes, you need to go. And she doesn't even know what the program is. And so I threw a few things together and threw it in my car. And so when you said perseverance, I thought just getting here was perseverance for me. But this year I'll have 6 years of abstinence. I've been in and out. Thanks. That makes me happy because I once had 5 back to back, and I blew that really, you know, and then didn't come back. Just a lot of stuff. My thing is that I am a night eater. Like, I'll get up in the middle of the night after I'm already sleeping and, well, you know, and just eat. And it's gone from, you know, really bad to not so bad, and now I haven't eaten in the middle of the night for almost 6 years back to back, which to me is a miracle. And I've tried everything, all those programs you mentioned, and nothing ever worked. And I was pissed off that nothing ever worked, because this was the only thing that ever worked, and I hated coming here. And I thought, oh, there's got to be an easier, softer way than this. And I spent a long time trying to figure out why it works. I have my own theory on it, but I don't care anymore. I just know it works. I've met so many wonderful people in these rooms, and I love the program. In the beginning, I didn't like it. It was a little, like, too Judeo-Christian for me, but I just love it now, and I just finished the 12 steps, so some of us are slow learners, and I'm just really happy to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Hello, my name is Carice, and I'm from Pacific Beach in San Diego, and I came up with my friend Christine, and hi, this is my first convention, and we just got here, and I just stood up, so it's like, for me, that's a sign of my perseverance and also my higher power working in my life, because I've been working with OA recovery for about 3 years with some change, and Christine and I just went for a little walk a couple days ago, and she's like, hey, the person I was going to this, I didn't even know that, I hadn't even heard about the convention, and she's like, yeah, that my friend can't make it, do you want to go? And I didn't even hesitate. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, let me call my work, I'll put in your request and blah blah blah, and work gave it to me off, and in the industry that we work weekends, and so here I am, just came up with her, packed a backpack, and strolled in. So for perseverance for me is in the program is just, it's unbelievable. It's not, I don't feel like it's my perseverance. I feel like something's working through me that I have this kind of perseverance to work the program in recovery. And as far as my food history, started around 13, 14, along with another recovery program, and just kind of bounced them both back and forth for most of my life. And being in living recovery brought me here, because some of my food issues started showing up in the radar, and they kicked me out. And I don't ever want to forget I didn't even know about OA. I hadn't even heard of it. And I've done everything. Don't let this fool you. Up, down, over, under, anything you can do, obsessed. act on. I've done it with food, whether it's over exercising or dieting or, you know, taking no dose or I've been up to, I stopped getting on the scale at 185 and I've been down probably below 80. So it's been a big part of my life, to the point that I'm going to wrap up with this, that my first call to OA, somebody got on the phone and I told them what I wanted and they told me where I could go to Oasis down in San Diego, and I went that night, and the next day actually was when I got kicked out because I got busted for some, but when I called, it was just like, just don't binge no matter what. And I remember for the first several days just pacing back and forth because I literally didn't know what to do with myself. Food was so much a part of my life, what I did with it, where I got it, how I got rid of it, how it made my social choices. If there was something social going on and there was food, I was there. If there wasn't food, maybe not so much. I mean, it decided what industry I got in. It decided, by the time I found OA found me, I feel like, because, I mean, the fact that I'm even here is a miracle. So thank you, everybody, for being here. You're part of my afternoon.
This side of the room.
Thank you for your share. I'm not going to give my name, so I don't want to sign anything. Perseverance. Yes, I went to the wrong hotel first. I went to the Sheraton. There's two Sheratons, apparently. And I want to make that play. I want to make that OA play. And somebody at a meeting had said, oh, I'm going to be in it, you guys. Come and watch me, you know. And I was so looking forward to coming in, but I was already late, you know. So I zipped in there, and I thought I was making a good time. And I'm fine. Like, oh, and then I find out I'm in the wrong hotel. Boy, I tell you, talk about perseverance. And then on top of that, see, I wasn't even sure if my registration was clear. But I was too jazzed for that play this week, and I felt the love very strongly from another meeting that I've been going to, OA meeting that I go to on Thursday, 100 Pounders meeting, which is a very strong meeting. And I tell you, matter of fact, I was so overwhelmed with love this past was it Thursday this past maybe it was a week. I'm getting all my Thursdays mixed up. But I was so touched by the love that I just began to cry, you know. And, you know, and then I shared with this newcomer while I was crying, because I felt like I should let her know that the reason why I'm crying is because of the generosity and love that comes in these rooms. They're so strong. That that's really the healing part. That's been the healing part for me, is that love, that unconditional love and acceptance. Because I'm sure I got some from my parents, but I don't know. I mean, I felt it, you know, I felt it coming here in these rooms. And is my time up? Okay. But if there's anybody here that's newer than myself, you know, just keep coming back, because... Now, don't give up before the miracle happens. I've also heard them say, don't give up five minutes before the miracle happens, you know. So, life is good. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Hi, I'm No Name, compulsive overeater. So thank you, Hank. I wasn't able to hear everything that I will hear on the recordings. So perseverance. I'm really grateful to be here. I have come to every birthday party since I first got abstinent 7 years ago in Los Angeles, but I relapsed 2.5 years ago, and I was a 100-pounder. It was really, really painful, and I was really angry at God, and I was in an accident, and I was disabled for 6 months in a wheelchair, and my recovery from the accident is still ongoing. I have a lot of pain. I'm actually experiencing pain right now, but the thing is that I still would come to meetings occasionally during my relapse, and I had to move to a different city to recover because I was disabled and in a wheelchair, and I had lived by myself, and I was living with other people, and I think that also contributed to my relapse because I didn't respect my food plan. And what happened 4 months ago was that I believe God gave me two gifts. Well, the first gift was that I broke out in blisters, and my doctor told me to go back on a gluten-free diet, which is what I had been on for years 2 through 4 of my first abstinence, and I've been abstinent since that time, and I've released 52 pounds since then. So, and with that, I've also, my depression has gone away, and the rash has gone away as well. And I also went back to basics, which was going to a meeting every day, and I'm in an area that does not have as strong recovery or as strong program as it here in LA. But you know, I find the fellowship that I crave. That's what the big book tells me. So I'm really grateful. And the second thing is that the pain that I have lingering from my accident, and I'll wrap up, is ironically aided by physical movement. So I need to have my action plan every day. I need to walk every day, and it's completely counterintuitive. And I started, and it would take me a half an hour to walk a mile, and now it takes me half an hour to walk 2 miles, which I never anticipated. And I don't even care. It could take me an hour to walk a mile. I don't even care. It was just, I need to not be in pain. So I'm really grateful for this program. It's saving my life. Thank you.
Can y'all hear me? Okay. I'm Rebecca, compulsive overeater, relapse survivor, and recovering. I came to OA in 1981, got abstinent at my first meeting, lost all my weight, kept it off for about 10 years, and then I was in a shuttle bus traffic accident in Chicago with my job, and I was homebound for 6 months, and that is the only time that I did not attend meetings. I always like to say that I'm like Roseanne, that I never stopped coming, whether I was up or down. A year ago in October, I had a heart attack. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was still in denial that I had it, but I had it. And I'm not where I want to be yet, but every day, you know, my higher power, I start off the morning in my readings with him. And when I saw the the birthday party theme, you know, I was really mesmerized by it, you know. So I'm really excited that I'm here and I'm going to get more hired, powered, because I've always had a God in my life before. Oh, I had one. But since being in the program, he's become more personal. I mean, I used to have him up there, but now he's like, you know, next to me. And I've been coming to these birthday parties. I'm from Texas. And I came one time and I was hooked. Mm-hmm. So I've been coming for the past 10, 15 years. So I look forward to all the recovery I'm going to hear this weekend. Thank you.
Time for a couple more.
Just let you know my phone died, so I'm doing it by hand now, right? Old fashioned.
Hi, I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Bob.
It's nice to be in a room of compulsive overeaters. You know, I don't think that you're able to see how wonderful you are. But from here, I can see it. And you all have a certain glow about you. And I have to say, I love you. Personally, I don't always apply that to myself, but I certainly like to apply it to you. The idea about trusting God for me can really be a difficult thing, because of the way my mind works. It's easy for me, you know, it's easy for me as a compulsive overeater to create cursed castles in my mind, you know, about what's going on, what I should do, and push God into the background, you know. Take charge, take control. I have that Boy Scout attitude, can-do attitude. I don't know if it's Boy Scout or Army or where it came from, but I have that attitude. And so I've had my share of relapses too. And I had 10 years of abstinence back-to-back, and I got really sick and was hospitalized for a week with a form of colitis, and my food for that week in the hospital was fruit juice, popsicles, and anything that had sugar in it, you know. And none of that stuff was on my food plan, and not only that, but, you know, whatever I put in was coming out very quickly. It was not a pleasant thing. And today, I'm abstinent. Today, I'm a grateful, you know, I feel like a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And I can see where God has been with me the whole time in this, you know. I like to think that God's been with me at every turn, that he hasn't stopped giving me challenges. He or she hasn't stopped giving me challenges. My higher power has always put something new, something more difficult, another challenge for me. And I think that the reason for that is that it keeps me coming, and it keeps me humble, and it keeps me willing. And I'm grateful to OA. And just real quick, I think you led the meeting at the World Service conference that we had here, convention that we had here, that I spoke at? Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for letting me share.
I think we have time for one more, and how about the person who really, really doesn't want to say anything?
I guess my mom. Hi, my name is Phil, compulsive reader, coming from Sacramento, California. And, yeah, I like the topic of trusting in higher power and practicing perseverance, because I truly believe that perseverance got me here at this conference. I had my reasons for coming here. I was put in a situation where I was sitting in a business meeting on a Saturday morning, and they were trying to discuss this event that they wanted to plan out. In Sacramento, every year for the past several years, we have this, it's a speaker meeting celebrating OA's birthday. Normally on the third, actually the fourth Saturday of January, but they decided to make it the first Saturday in February. And I was like appointed the speaker seeker. Right? It was simply because I was asking questions. So I says, okay, well, I guess maybe what I'll go ahead and do is, you know, go to the OA birthday party. I'll probably find someone there, you know, that would be willing. But before I got here, I already found a speaker who graciously said yes. So I'm here because of recovery. And that's perseverance for you. So that's it. Thanks.
How self-centered I am. I was trying to see if I could be available to go. Okay. It is now time to close the session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at the session and all for attending. After a moment of silence, please join in as we close with it has the serenity prayer or the third step prayer, and I get to pick. Anybody here know the I put my hand in yours prayer? We can be different. The one that was in, then we'll do this, the serenity prayer. And if you gave your name, please come up and sign this release form so I don't get in any trouble. Okay, and you guys hopefully know who you are. Okay. We can join hands and close with this one.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you work it.
Happy birthday,
Owen. Yeah.
Please, if you didn't sign that.
Oh, I didn't get any.